Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
New laws which would see pubs and clubs allowed to stay open later are in the spotlight today, as an Irish Examiner article warns us to be wary of their potential negative impact. Now, the article's author, Dr. Sheila Gilheeney, says before we bring in any changes, we need a health impact assessment. Now, according to her, the international evidence says later opening hours result in an increase in road deaths and alcohol-related harm. Now, to quote the article, such measures will lead to greater alcohol use and an increase in alcohol harms. A one-hour extension of trading hours has been shown to be associated with a 16% increase in alcohol-related crime, a 30% increase in road collisions in rural areas, and a 34% increase in alcohol-related industries. Now, it seems hard to argue, but yet we have spoken for years about the need to relax our laws, the urgent need to relax our alcohol laws, which seem a little bit restrictive. If I want to have a drink at 4 o'clock in the morning in a nightclub, should I not be able to as a grown adult? Why do we need to have controls over the sale of alcohol? Well, joining me on the line to go through some of what was in that article today is Dr. Sheila Gilheeney. Sheila, good evening and welcome to Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you?
I'm good, Adrian. Thanks very much for having me on.
Just to explain to our listeners that what is intended in this new intoxicating liquor bill would be an extension of licensing hours for all bars and restaurants from 11:30 to 12:30, facilitating late night opening of bars to 2:30, and then extending nightclub hours until 6 a.m., introducing a new cultural amenity license, all in the guise of enhancing the nighttime economy. Now, we know that the nighttime economy in Ireland has really taken a hammering in the last number of years. What is the concern here? What are you worried about?
Well, we know from the international evidence, and this is very, very clear from multiple different jurisdictions, that when you increase licensing hours and when you increase the density or the number of outlets where you can buy alcohol, not surprisingly, you increase the level of alcohol consumption in the country. And with that, there is a very direct relationship between the amount of alcohol that we drink and the amount of alcohol harm that we experience. And, you know, you quoted, you know, some of the statistics there that was listed in the article. And this is well established, you know, that the one there about, you know, increase in alcohol-related crime, we actually have to look up the road to Northern Ireland, where they increased their licensing hours back in October 2021. And they have actually seen a 17% increase in alcohol-related crime. So these aren't theoretical things. This is actual reality. And what we're saying is that if you intend to bring in extended licensing hours and increase in the number of venues where you can get alcohol, well, you have to plan for it. Because if you're thinking in terms of, you know, increased pressure on our hospital systems, so one of the piece of data that you quoted there, we can expect to see a 34% increase in alcohol-related injuries requiring hospital treatment. That's for every extra hour of licensing that's available. So our EDs are already very, very busy. We all know that. And certainly at the weekends, you can expect to see about 30% of presentations to EDs being alcohol-related. So if you're going to increase that by a third, you'd have to say, right, who's going to staff that? Who's going to actually manage it? Where's the extra funds going to come from to be able to deal with that? And so when we're saying something like we need a health impact assessment, it's not just us who's saying this. This was actually a recommendation of the Oireachtas Justice Committee, who did the pre-legislative scrutiny on this bill. And that's exactly what they said. You need to have this information. You need to have a proper assessment of what it actually would mean to increase our licensing hours, and then have a discussion about, well, does this actually seem like a good idea or does it not?
We're always being told that the Irish have a very bad relationship with alcohol. How are we, if you're to compare the Irish as a nation to other nations in Europe? How do we compare in terms of alcohol consumption?
Well, we're above some and we're below others. I'll give you a few examples in terms of things like binge drinking. You know, so that's taking a lot of alcohol at any one particular drinking occasion. We're pretty high. We'd be the eighth highest in OECD countries, but actually there are other countries which are even higher. Germany, for example, is one, and Germany, you know, drinks more than we do. It also drinks a lot more in this kind of binge drinking sort of way. And as a result, it sees an awful lot of harm. It would have a death rate from alcohol of the order of about 7%. So 7% of all deaths arise because of alcohol. Here in Ireland, it's about 5% of all deaths. We've heard an awful lot of chat about, you know, well, let's be more European. Well, we would be saying, well, there are other countries who are doing a bit better than us. And Norway, for example, would be a really good example of a country which would have the lowest, one of the lowest rates of deaths from alcohol across Europe. And the reason that it has that is not because Norwegians are intrinsically different in some way from Germans or from Irish people. It's because they have a set of laws which doesn't ban alcohol by any means at all, but puts a few more restrictions on its sale. So, for example,
and it's extraordinarily expensive.
Well, it is more expensive than it is here. But then I will say to you that actually alcohol is extremely cheap here. But one of the things that Norway would have would be a complete ban on alcohol advertisement. That's one thing. It does have restrictions on the sale of alcohol. So, for example, if you were looking to get alcohol in an off license, those hours are more restrictive than you would see here. They close at around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening. So, that does make a difference to the overall level of alcohol that is actually sold. Now, there are three kind of pillars, if you like, on which, if you want to try and reduce alcohol harm, the three things that really do work are, you know, controls on price, controls on marketing, and controls on availability. And this government has set a target of trying to reduce the amount of alcohol that we sell, or sorry, that we consume here in Ireland. They would like to reduce it by about 20%. That was a target that was set back in 2013. It was supposed to be achieved by 2020. We haven't actually achieved that, but we are getting some way towards it. And the way in which that we have made some progress is through another piece of legislation. It's called the Public Health Alcohol Act, which has some restrictions on pricing, some restrictions on advertising. That was passed in 2018. It still hasn't been fully implemented, but we're beginning to see some of the effects of it. So, for example, right now, we're drinking about 7% less than we did in 2018 when it was first introduced. But it seems quite bizarre that another wing of the government, the Department of Justice at this stage, is actually looking to kick away one of those pillars. In this case, it's the availability one. And they're actually seeking to increase availability through this set of proposals around licensing hours and particular venues where you can actually get alcohol. So to me, it's very, very clear that the government is confused on what it's actually trying to do, that there is absolute incoherence within the government, with one wing of the government looking to do one thing and another wing looking to do something else. And clearly the two are not talking to each other. So as a first step, before anything more, I think it would make sense simply to have those facts and figures about, well, what would it actually cost the country? What would it mean in terms of the additional resources that would be needed to be able to deal with the fallout from it, and then make a decision as to whether this is a good idea or not?
OK, so as you know, there has been a fairly intense campaign over recent years, particularly in the wake of the COVID lockdowns, by the late night industry to liberalise our laws, to relax the sale of alcohol, to allow pubs and clubs to open later, to boost the nighttime economy in this country, which, I mean, somebody just messaged there a moment ago. If Spain and Portugal and all of these places can do it, so can we. What do you say to that?
Well, I think firstly, we have to legislate for our particular situation, but we can learn from other countries and other jurisdictions and try to take that into account. So we know what we have a problem with alcohol right now. Like literally tonight, there are 1,500 people in bed, in a hospital bed in Ireland. that's a lot of beds, that's a lot of illness, that's a lot of distress that's already out there. We know, sadly, tomorrow, 4 people will die from alcohol. That's 4 people tomorrow and another 4 the day after. That's a lot of deaths. That's a lot of trauma. And we know right now that there's actually about 1 million people living in the country, 1 million adults, who grew up with the trauma of having with alcohol harm in the home, which has a massive impact on people's ongoing mental health, their physical health, their relationships. You know, they're so much of what's there. So there's a lot to be taken into account when we start thinking about changes to licensing or changes really in anything around alcohol. And at the heart of it, I think we just have to remember that we have individuals who really do suffer a lot. And it's not necessarily at all about people who maybe have a dependency of alcohol. That is one element of it. But actually, by far, the greater and the amount of harm actually arises from the 50% or so of those of us who drink who do so in a way that will be considered hazardous, that's likely to lead to harm.
Okay, but if you extend, and I accept the point that we have a very poor relationship with alcohol in Ireland, but not everybody does. And a lot of people are able to have and do have a responsible relationship with alcohol. Why should the... In fact, I'll read a message that just came in to me from Laura in Westmeath, and she says, this is a plaster over a problem. We need to do something about our relationship with alcohol, but what this woman wants is a nanny state. What do you say to that?
Well, I suppose what I'd say is that the state as it is has to pick up the tab. You know, alcohol costs Ireland... It's estimated that basically alcohol harms in high-income countries cost about 2.5% of GDP. That's about 12 billion. That 12 billion euros has to be found somewhere. The state has to find it. And I think it's not unreasonable then for the state to sort of go, gosh, maybe this isn't such a good idea. But that's just looking at the sums on it. You know, to say that some people are drinking and their drinking doesn't cause them a problem, well, that's okay, and that's we're happy to hear that. But alcohol,
in other words, the argument being that if you have a responsible relationship with alcohol, why should you be treated like a child? Basically, is the argument.
Well, I think again we have to look. We live in a society. We all live together, and we have to find a way of being able to live together with that. It's a bit like actually, if you think of driving. Lots of us like to drive. We like to have our cars. We like to use them. But we also know that if everybody wanted to drive at 150 kilometres per hour, it simply wouldn't be possible. So we put some restrictions on when, where you can drive, how you drive. We put some restrictions and say things like you need to be wearing seatbelts. You know that you have to drive in a particular way that makes it safer for all of us. So it's very similar, really, in many ways around alcohol. You might say, well, I'm a great driver. I'm well capable of taking this road at 100 miles an hour. But in fact, actually, we find that when you collectively do things, when you actually look at this, you know, across the whole of society, that it really does make sense to try and reduce the level of harm that actually arises from alcohol. And again, you know, people will say, well, my drinking doesn't cause me a problem. It may not, but it could be causing, or other people may be experiencing problems from other people's drinking. Now, we know there was a very good survey done actually through the HSE a few years ago, and it found that about half of the people who responded found that in the last year they had been harmed by somebody else's drinking, by a stranger's drinking. So not family, not their own drinking, but a stranger's drinking. And that it doesn't really surprise me at all, because we know from other studies, a lot of people saying that they feel actually quite unsafe, you know, uneasy when out at night, really primarily because of alcohol. And we know from other polling data that about 2/3 of people polled would have said that they are concerned about the impact on public services that's likely to arise from increasing alcohol licensing hours. So there is a lot of concern out there. I will say that actually recently about 80 different organisations and public health advocates came together to call on the government to carry out this health impact assessment. And these are organisations ranging from people working in the domestic violence sphere, people working in road safety areas, people working in, you know, with children, the likes of ISPCC, Barnardo's, people working, you know, in health services and mental health services in particular, people working with liver disease, people working with cancer. So, you know, there's multiple different organisations who see the impact of alcohol on their work. And they're saying, well, you know what, we'll be the people who'll be, you know, picking up the pieces. We'll be the people who'll have to deal with the fallout from all of this. And I think it's important let's look at this.
OK, unfortunately, we know there is a downside to alcohol. We'd be foolish to try to deny that. And as you said, at any one moment, there are over 1,000 people in hospital related to alcohol. So we know that it is very problematic. But the question that I ask is, and in fact, a message just came in a moment ago as well, and it says, and by the way, if you want to get involved in this conversation, our WhatsApp number is 087-188-0008. Do you support extending the opening hours of pubs and clubs in this country, which is potentially happening this year? 087-188-0008 is our WhatsApp number. Anyway, this message came in from Paul, and he says, if things keep going the way they are, there won't be any pubs left. These laws are needed to save this industry. Lots of people will be out of jobs and rural loneliness will be out of control. Is this ever taken into consideration? In other words, the importance of the pub industry.
Well, like I say, we have made absolutely no comment about looking to have pubs being closed. All we're talking about is whether their licensing hours should be extended. So that's a completely different thing. And again, you know, just to go back to the idea of, you know, a nanny state or, you know, should interventions be there? You might not be having a problem with alcohol. You might not know anybody who's having a problem with alcohol, but you might have to go to ED tonight because of an accident that has happened to you or because of a heart attack that you've had. And you might find actually it's maybe, you know, not so easy to get the treatment that you would want to get because of the level of demand that's arising in EDs because of alcohol. So, you know, there are many different ways in which actually alcohol use does affect all of us.
All right, interesting conversation. Dr. Sheila Gilheaney, thank you very much indeed for joining us this evening on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. And I would love to hear from you on this. Our WhatsApp number is 087-188-0008. 087-188-0008. The plan is to, and this has been talked about since the middle of COVID, actually, since a time when everywhere was closed. There was a major campaign called Give Us the Night was launched and championed by people like Sunil Sharp. And unfortunately, Sunil isn't available to talk to us this evening. But this campaign has been really intense. And during COVID, when everywhere was closed, the government promised that they would review our legislation regarding opening hours and everything else to make it easier for businesses to trade. And that was in the height of COVID when everywhere was closed. So what is being proposed is that the licensing hours will be extended for all bars and restaurants from 11:30 until 12:30. OK, so no more closing at 11:30, 12:30. Now, just because a bar is open until 12:30 doesn't mean people are going to stay there. But anyway, and this applies to the rest, facilitating late night opening of bars to 2:30 without the need, you know, if you're in a late bar till 2:30, they have to apply for a license every time they open, every night that they open. And they have to pay, I think it's €400 for a late bar. They will be allowed to open until 2:30 if they want to. And then extending nightclub hours until 6 a.m. Now, a lot of people think, God almighty, extend the pub hours till 6 a.m, there'll be slaughter on the streets. I actually worked for a couple of years in Switzerland, in a bar over there. And the nightclub was open until 6 o'clock. Were there people in the nightclub until 6 o'clock? Very few. They still kind of left from 3 o'clock onwards. And between 5 and 6, there were stragglers, basically. There were very few left by the end of the night. And obviously time will tell as to whether or not there even is a demand for clubs to stay open until 6 a.m. And I should imagine in a city like Dublin or a city like Cork, there might be one or two venues, or maybe three or four, that would stay open that late. The rest probably won't. But at least the option is there. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd love to hear from you. Our number is 087-188-0008 if you would like to send us a WhatsApp or a WhatsApp voice note. Let me go to, hang on, I'll press this button here and we'll move her from there to there. And Maureen, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you?
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Maureen. Well, how do you feel about the notion of, it's in the pipeline. How do you feel about the idea of extending pub opening hours?
It's the most insane idea I've ever heard.
Why?
Extending nightclubs until 6 o'clock in the morning. Extending the ordinary bar licence until 2:30 in the morning. Extend it from 11:30 to 12:30. That's fine.
Okay, you're happy enough with that.
Happy enough. I've worked later hours than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I worked back in the day when a weekend the bar was allowed to stay open until 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I had no problem with that.
So you have no problem with the 2:30?
I have a problem with 2:30 in an ordinary bar.
Okay.
No,
why?
12:30. That's it. Because it's too late.
Okay. The reality of it is that the vast majority of bars won't choose to stay open till 2:30 because there's no business for them. At the moment, we have late bars in the cities mainly that stay open till 2:30 of the weekends. They have to pay £400 every time they stay open till 2:30. That's silly, is it not? They're there anyway. They're opening till 2:30 anyway, but they have to pay for every time they get an extension.
Yeah, they do. So where's the point?
The point is, firstly, that the business has to actually pay for that extended licence. They have to apply to the courts every single month.
Well, it just has to pay for, of course it does. But extending the opening hours is no guarantee that that bar or nightclub is going to be able to pay their staff.
Well, they're hardly going to open if they can't pay their staff.
The premises.
No, but the point I'm making.
The point is, then why? Leave them open until 2:30 at an ordinary bar or a nightclub until 6 o'clock in the morning. It makes no sense. It's a ridiculous, insane idea.
Okay, let me just talk about the 2:30 thing first. At this moment, if you are running a bar and you want to stay open with a music bar or whatever until 2:30 in the morning, you have to go to the district court, you have to apply for a licence extension, and it's £400 a pop. So if you open 3 nights a week till 2:30, you have to pay €1,200 or something around that.
I know.
Okay.
Bar work's been my trade all my life. So I know exactly what must be done.
So what is the harm then?
But I wouldn't be doing it if I had a bar.
No. What's the harm in allowing that same bar to stay open until 2:30 without having to pay that £400?
They're open from 10:30 in the morning.
No, I'm aware of that.
That's it. Yeah, well, you have all day to drink if you wish to drink. You have all night to drink if you wish to drink. 12:30 is late enough. Anything beyond that is ridiculous.
Okay, so
remember, people must live around these places.
I understand
and
all of that, but again, Maureen, as we said, there are many bars that apply for that extension to stay open a bit later until 2:30, okay? There's no talk of changing that.
Can I stop them from applying for it? I think it's a ridiculous idea.
Well, what is
and
the point?
And it shouldn't be allowed. They're open late enough.
Okay, so everywhere should close at 12:30.
Yes, ordinary bar, close at 12:30. Have a rule, everybody close at 12:30. It's late enough, Adrian.
So no nightclubs, nowhere open till 2:30.
I worked bars for almost 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Hotels, I know. I've seen it on the other side. And it is not pretty. Even at 12 o'clock at night, it wasn't pretty some nights.
Okay, so would you like to see everywhere closed?
Yes, I would. At a reasonable hour. I don't see any need or anything wrong with public licensed premises closing at a reasonable hour. And I would go, if I had a bar, to the 12:30, but that's it. Everybody's
okay, so even the bars that are open until 2:30 because they go to the district court, they apply for an extension, you would take that away from all of them, would you?
I would, yeah. At this point, I would. The way this country is going, yes, I would. Because you made a comment earlier on that when that COVID hit, right, mm-hmm. that the bars, they weren't making any money, of course, because they were shut. So is this the twats in Dáil Éireann deciding, oh, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to make sure you make money. You can stay open till half two.
That is when this conversation actually started, was during COVID, and the government said, we really feel sorry for you. We promise you when things get back to normal, we'll relax the opening hours.
And that was the promise
that was made. But you would not allow any of this, if you had your way, everywhere.
No.
Even nightclubs will be closed at half 12.
No, I would go different from nightclub, but I certainly wouldn't be going to 6 o'clock in the morning. Ordinary bars, the ordinary bar that you see in your town, will be closed at 12:30.
Okay, stay there for 1 second, Maureen, if you can, please. Our number is 087-188-0008. This is Adrian Kennedy at Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. And we're asking whether or not you support the government's plan to extend licensing hours. As you heard in our opening interview, Sheila Gintini was arguing that this is going to lead to more alcohol harm in this country. Susan, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Hi, Adrian. How are you?
I'm
how
good,
are you
thanks.
Keeping?
Yeah, not a bother, thank
nice
you.
Nice to hear you.
What do you want
nice
to say?
Nice to hear you. Well, I'd like to say I don't really agree with Maureen, if I may say so. I suppose we have difference of opinion there. I believe they should be opened until late, you know, like Ibiza, like Amsterdam, like those other European cities and countries, and have them open late. Because I think when they're closed early, you've got people dying to get drink. But if they're open... And
this has always been the argument. This has always been the argument. And in fact, I'll just bring Maureen back in for a second. One of the arguments against all premises closing at the same time has always been that everybody pours out onto the street at the same time, be that 12:30 or 2:30 or whatever. I gave the example of having worked in Switzerland where late bars were open until 4 and nightclubs were open until 6. And there was none of that. Because people just dribbled out of places. They weren't all falling out onto the street at the same time. And it was spread out over the whole night. So it didn't have that that crunch time where you couldn't get a taxi for love nor money and all of that. So is there
The Swiss have a different relationship with alcohol than we do.
They're fairly well able to drink as well, I can tell you.
They have a different relationship with alcohol. You don't see the messing going on there that you see, especially here. And I used to do these nightclub here in this town. And we'd have the bar from 9. That would close at 12. The nightclub part opened until 2 o'clock. But open till 2 o'clock meant the shutters began coming down about 1:45. So you were finished by 2 o'clock, so your drinking time. And that, believe me, that was late enough. And in the height of the summer when it would be packed, you're dealing with drunks, messy, broken glass, fights. It's late enough.
Okay, there you go, Susan. Susan, it's late enough.
Yeah. Well, you see, I think we need to just change our whole perspective and attitude on a lot of things. They're trying to change people to go on bikes, trying to change people to walk more. So the whole thing with the alcohol culture, that's got to change, that whole thing. How many pints can you get down in the space of 1 hour?
And this is the point that I was making, and I still see it myself.
So I think we need to just change our whole...
Yes. Maureen, just go back to you for a second. I see this myself every weekend because I still work in bars. You announced last orders, and my God almighty, the queue at the bar and people buying three and four pints to pile
That's
them
right.
into them before they fall out on the street.
They'd horse the drink into them. They'd be calling for 3 and 4 and a double this and a double that.
But
and if it wasn't a double,
point,
it could be a treble.
The point being that if those closing hours are extended, you won't have that crunch of people saying, geez, I have to get loads of drink into me.
It doesn't matter. People have plenty of time to go out and enjoy themselves. And first and foremost, where is all this money supposed to be coming from? Because you're going to be extending these hours. You're not going to be selling your liquor at the same price, are you? No, you're not, because you're going to have to make a profit.
Excuse me.
So where's all this money suddenly coming from? When there's families in this country can't even feed themselves, parents can't put clothes on their children's backs or food on their table.
Obviously, if people aren't spending money...
Can't pay their bills.
No, hang on. If punters don't spend the money. Let's say, for example, a club is opening until 6 in the morning and they need to push up their prices in order to stay open until 6 in the morning. And people go, I'm not bothered going there. I'm not paying that sort of price. then that premises will no longer open until 6 in the morning. Because
no, it won't, but they won't be able to it won't be feasible for them to do it.
Surely that is up to the business themselves to work out whether it's feasible. That's the point.
Anyone can say what they like. I was asked my opinion. I've been in this trade, I've been in it for almost 40 years. I've seen everything. And as far as I'm concerned,
okay,
the licensing
absolutely
laws
no,
now are perfect.
Are perfect.
No way.
Okay. All right, Maureen, thanks very much indeed. Our number is 087-188-0008. You can send us a WhatsApp or a WhatsApp voice note. This message just came in and it says, I can't come on, but I just want to say I agree with Maureen, but also maybe it should be seasonal. My concern is people coming out of bars at all hours and acting the maggot on the street in the dark, frightening the life out of drivers. Surely it would lead to more road deaths and accidents, but maybe if it was seasonal when the evenings are brighter for tourism, says Terry. Now, Terry, the only time that it's actually bright at 4 in the morning is in the height of summer. Other than that, it's dark. At any time, the pubs might be closing. Christina, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Good, thank you. Well, you're not in favour of this either.
I'm not, no. I live in Limerick, right in the middle of the nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our residential area was there well before any licence was granted for any of these pubs and clubs. So, as it stands now, and we have been to all the local papers and the national papers. We have people using our gardens as pilots. We've often come out to urine, blood, broken glass, vomit, feces that we've had to clean before our children can go to school. Besides that fact, we have people shouting and roaring and screaming on the road until well after 4 o'clock when they're kicked out of the pub at 2:30. There's a pizza place that stays open with his music banging until 4 o'clock. But that's all well and good. We're kind of used to that now at this stage. But we also have the local Saturday market, where the market traders start setting up from maybe 5 a.m. onward. So that is, and the nightclubs will stay open till 6. Because all they want is money, money, money.
Okay, but the argument that I've been making, and I gave the example, is the only example I can draw on from my experience working in Switzerland, okay? And even though the nightclub was allowed to stay open till that hour, very rarely did it actually stay open till that hour because the people were gone. People only have there's only a certain amount that people can tolerate in terms of staying up, drinking and all of that. So even though, in theory, a place might be able to stay open till 6 a.m, doesn't mean it actually will.
It will. We've had it there since all the colleges go back. The pub straight across the road from my house opens at 10:30 in the morning, and there's crowds and crowds of them queuing up to get in. And the pub over at the far side opens at 7:30 in the morning for these such events. And those same people are still the ones on the road screaming at 3 and 4 in the morning.
And you believe that those ones that are screaming at 3 and 4 in the morning will still be there at 5 or 6 in the morning if the places were open?
They will be, because we've taken videos of the crowds waiting to go into the pubs in the morning. And we've also taken videos of the crowds screaming at 3 and 4 in the morning. And they're the same people, most of them.
Okay, what about the argument
then?
Now,
we have elderly people.
What about the argument, Christina, that extending hours will stop everybody piling out onto the street at the exact same time, which has always been a problem in this country, whether that be 12:30 or 2:30 in the morning? Everywhere is closing at the same time and everybody piles out onto the street at the same time. And that's what causes your noise and your antisocial behaviour, because everybody is on the street together.
Yeah, you have a point there to a certain extent. I'm not talking about normal Joe Sofa people. I'm talking about the students. You know, the ones that have no money. I'm talking about them.
But those ones with no money won't be able to afford to stay out till 6 in the morning because they've no money.
But they say they have no money, but they do have money. They have money for their drink. I've often been to the point where it's ended up in fist fights with people coming into the garden, waking my children up. The guards don't care. The councils don't care. We've done the whole thing of the petition to get their license revoked and not to have their license renewed. Doesn't work. Nobody wants to help us.
Okay, so you're totally against any extension of opening hours?
Oh, yes. Okay. Totally against it.
Stay there for a second because...
But it doesn't make a difference.
Dave, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you?
What's the story?
Dave, you actually, and this is the point that I've been making here, that keeping pubs open longer will stop everyone spilling out onto the street at the same time. You agree with that?
Well, that's it, yeah. The amount of rows I've seen in, like, the middle of the streets after, you know, nightclubs close and then you just throng of drunken people fired out, and then obviously there's not enough taxis, so people are hanging around. You know, there's, like, I mean, a lot of the problems people are going on about with, you know, domestic violence and the hospitals and antisocial behaviour, that's more a failing by the government not to have the proper infrastructure in place. Not necessarily because of licensing laws. And I mean, yeah, we do, you know, we don't exactly have a great relationship with alcohol in this country, but that's more cultural. That's down to us as people, not necessarily how late, like, bars stay open.
Mm. Okay, so...
You know...
Are you in favour, then, of giving... And again, this isn't obligatory, you know, just because a bar could stay open until 2:30 with a late licence doesn't mean it's actually going to. It only will if there's business there for them.
Yeah, no, but that's exactly it. Like, it's not like every nightclub. I mean, to be fair, how many nightclubs are even left in the country?
Very few. You know, very, like, very few.
Yeah. You know, like, I remember when I was 18, you had your pick of places to go. And I was talking to someone, a friend of mine's daughter recently, and the closest nightclub to where I live is in Limerick, and it's €90 for a taxi in and out. So,
yeah, no, I was only talking to a young person recently and saying that they don't know what they're missing compared to when I was a young fella. There was a nightclub on every second street corner, and it's just not a thing anymore.
But even the price of it, I remember I used to be able to go with like £90 in my back pocket, and that was like my night's drink and, you know, getting into the nightclub, getting a taxi home. Do you know, like, if you had £150 in your back pocket, you're going on a right rampage altogether.
So we know that the nighttime economy is very, very different now to what it was back in the day. And obviously, there are people who have been involved in this campaign to revitalise the nighttime industry that believe that we can get it back to where it was, but we need to be much more relaxed about opening hours and everything else. What do you say to that?
Yeah, but I mean, like, the pub industry in this country is dying. You know, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily, like, the problem with rural Ireland as much as it's just, it's so much harder to get, you know, from your house to your local pub. I mean, I've been in my local a couple of times till 3:00 in the morning, so I don't really think licensing laws and opening times are a massive problem.
I agree with you in a lot of places.
You know, like, I think the biggest problems we have in regards to the nightlife in this country is, like, first of all, it's the cost of everything. And I can't see how, like, letting a bar stay open for an extra hour is going to increase antisocial behavior. If you're worried about antisocial behavior, you should be looking for more guards on the streets. You know, and, like, a nightclub, like, I was in, I think it was the Isle of Man, it was a nightclub I was in, and they had to open until 6:00 in the morning thing. And we left at, like, 3:30. And it was fine. The streets were clear. We went and got a takeaway. We went away. Who in the name of God is going to go to a nightclub and stay there till 6:30 in the morning?
Very few. That's the point.
That last lady had on there, okay, fair enough, antisocial behaviour from students and stuff like that. So maybe have a caveat that if you're so close to, you know, like a residential area where there's known to be antisocial behaviour, you can deny them the licence. But we don't start looking after bars and clubs and stuff, nightlife in this country is going to be completely gone. It's going to be completely dead. I mean,
it's not far from it as it is.
And, like, they brought in minimum unit pricing. They copied what they did in Scotland, and they've even found in Scotland it's been a complete failure. Remember they brought in where the off license had to close at 10:00. That didn't do anything. Our problems with alcohol in this country are not down to when and where bars and pubs are and what time they close at. Our problems are cultural. Like, how much of that money that they made from the minimum unit pricing was ring-fenced for programs to teach children about the dangers of
that's
alcohol?
A very good like, question. Really no, I should imagine, you know, very little, to be quite honest with you. But...
Or how many extra treatment centres have been built since COVID to deal with alcoholism? Because like alcoholism has gone up quite a lot because of the lockdowns, because people were stuck at home. How many extra treatment centres or treatment beds are there? Or how much extra money is being pumped into domestic violence places or shelters for women or for the mental health services? You know, it's easy to blame alcohol and just like pick and pick and pick and then raise the prices. But people don't also realise the massive amount of revenue that's being generated from this.
Absolutely. All right, stay there for a second, Dave. This message just came into us and it says, the minimum wage is going up and up. How can you support this if there's only a few people, like you say, staying till late hours? How could you justify staying open till 6 a.m.? It won't work. The point that I was making was that in a big city like Dublin or Limerick or Cork, you may have a couple of premises that would stay open until 6 a.m. But at least they would have the option. That's the whole point. Jessica, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you?
Hiya.
Well, what did you want to say on this, Jessica?
Oh, like, I actually think, like, it's sad that we don't have a nightlife. It's sad.
Well, I wouldn't say we don't have a nightlife. We do have a nightlife. I mean, if you're in Dublin, walk up along Harcourt Street any night, any weekend night, the place is packed.
Yeah, but compared to places, like I said ages ago, Spain and Portugal, they most places there do stay open till 6, 7 a.m. And it's mental. Like, it looks like Party Central. And I don't see why that's such a bad thing, because that money will be getting pumped into the economy. Could you imagine the boom Dublin City would have if we did have nightclubs and bars and pubs opening that late?
Okay, would you go out until 6 a.m. on a Saturday night if you could?
Oh, yeah, like, I wouldn't mind it. I mean, as the song goes, I like the nightlife, I like the boogie.
Right, okay, so you wouldn't mind at least having the option?
No, like I said, could you imagine, like we already make money anyway from the pubs and all that stuff anyway with tourism. Could you imagine the absolute pumping in the economy it would have, especially at the summertime when you have the late evenings and it gets dark at like 11 and then it gets bright again at like 5. Could you imagine? It would be mental.
Okay, so you'd like the opportunity at least. Let me go to Chris. You're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you?
How are you doing there? Yeah, I totally agree with that guest you had, the doctor. You know, in 1997, I was a barman, kind of late hotel barman in Dublin. And at the time they liberalised, you know those guys who pull the carts around the place, the Brazilian chaps? They were trying to bring business into Dublin. And it was absolute mayhem when they opened all the late bars and hotels in the centre of the city. And Michael McDowell was that wise old gentleman of the Senate. He closed it down after about 3 months because of the mayhem that occurred in Dublin. And look, it amazes me, the short-term memory of politicians. I mean, that's only a few years ago. Well, I suppose a long time ago now, 24 years ago. But they closed it down after 3 months because of the carry-on in the centre of the city. It was bananas, you know. So I can't understand their short-term memory on the matter, you know. And it's exactly what they're proposing now.
Okay, again, as I was saying, if premises can stay open till 2:30, doesn't mean it will stay open till 2:30. It will only stay open till that late if it thinks it's going to get customers, essentially. And similarly for nightclubs, just because they can doesn't mean they will stay open so late.
Yeah, but most of them do, you know, on weekends, you know, and the busy nights. And as I said, A&E was overwhelmed. The police were overrun. And they call a halt on it after about 3 months because of the carry on.
Okay, so you would prefer to leave the licensing laws exactly as they are. And let me just very quickly, I've 30 seconds. Mickey, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you?
How good, thank you. I agree with your earlier callers, Maureen, Christine. you, at half two in the morning, you're not getting drinkers. You're getting messers. Everyone has had their fill of drink at half two in the morning. There's only so much you can physically drink.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And that's why people kind of fizzle off home eventually.
No. I have seen it firsthand. The same as what your comment was earlier at Last Orders. I've worked quietly for a lifetime. I never called Last Orders. I just shut the bar down. Simple reason being, they're at the bar, as you say, they're ordering 10 of this, 3 of this, 2 of this, and then it's a begging match to get them to go home. Because they do not want to leave their drink behind. And if you're in the UK, the bell is rang at 11 o'clock. Half 11, you're on the street. In respect, what do you have in front of you?
No, I know that. I know they're much. It's much stricter over there. I've had the experience. You don't see any need. You don't see any need to extend licensing hours here.
In a nightclub, if they want. But working in a bar trade most of my life, you're still paying staff, you're still paying for your electric, you're still paying for everything. You're trying to get them to go home. You still have to clean the bar after they leave. You still have to do everything after they leave. And it's costing money, in my opinion.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.